Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Certain evidence introduced in the hush money trial was in fact precluded under the Supreme Court test. Now that's big time stuff here. Why is Bragg, is it just strategic to sign off on saying, yes, let's allow this to simmer for a while? Let's go to Jay Towne here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jay, great to speak with you as always, but particularly as this came down earlier today.
Yeah, hey, Dom, always good to be on with you. Surprisingly, this is the right thing for Alvin Bragg to do. The opinion yesterday, the issue here for the Manhattan case is that the Supreme Court was very clear and very deliberate in even listing certain types of activities which the president is immune from prosecution. And then they went further and said, if he's immune from prosecution for those activities, no evidence of those activities are admissible at a trial. And just like, Dom, if there was an illegal search and seizure, the evidence that seized from that Fourth Amendment violation is inadmissible. And if it was admitted and the jury considered it, then it's reversible error. It's not harmless error. It is reversible error.
Jay, let me take it back to it, though. How does Trump's social media, what argument would you make that Trump's social media on this, while president, I think everybody agrees this happened while president, and some discussions in the Oval Office would be official duties versus private because he's trying to settle this matter? What's the metric? What are you using to make the argument that that's under the category of official presidential duties?
It's a great question. So during the Trump administration, you'll recall, your listeners will recall, that Donald Trump wanted to block certain people or maybe even delete certain tweets. And the court said, no. Your personal Twitter account is now going into the National Archives. Your communication with the world, to include the 340 Americans by Twitter, is now part of your official record, your official duties. So court has already declared that any tweet, and they mentioned this in the opinion yesterday, that any tweet by Donald Trump when he was president of the United States, or any president, is a part of his official duties because communicating issues with the people is a very broad-scoped Article II function of the chief executive. And so all of those tweets that they introduced that involved Michael Cohen or Stormy Daniels or anything as it regarded the hush money trial in Manhattan – would be inadmissible evidence, and it was all admitted.
Yeah, I remember that now. I was in the camp, I don't know about you, that thinks, hey, I should be able to delete these people that are on Twitter with me. But I heard the argument on the other side. The archivist got this. Is it just the social media, though, or is it the Trump discussions? Were they introduced into the hush money case in the Oval Office in any way, and how would they be official?
I'd have to actually do some research on what evidence was actually admitted that involved discussions with, let's say, a chief of staff or something like that. I don't think there were many, but any communications with, let's say, Vice President Pence in the J6 context, those would all be covered by the immunity decision yesterday, and that would be inadmissible evidence. And so if he was speaking about this with members of his staff. So Hope Hicks, just ringing a bell that he called Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Hope Hicks to talk about the Stormy Daniels case. The communications with Hope and with Sarah would be with Trump would be inadmissible. The communications between Cohen and Sarah and Hope would all be inadmissible hearsay. So that there's a lot of evidentiary machinations here that are troublesome for the Manhattan DA.
Yeah, well, you just brought up, and I have, thank you, because I haven't seen anybody else take us back to the Trump Twitter. I was wondering about the social media. That's exactly on point. Who gets to determine whether or not we have reversible error here? And I guess we have to do a new trial as a remedy. But who decides, and then is the only remedy a new trial?
So here's what's interesting about this, which further complicates things for the Manhattan DA. So for your listeners, and I know you know this, but until you're sentenced, the case is not finished. You're not actually convicted yet until a sentence is final and adjudged and that gavel comes down. So as of right now, the case isn't over. If Judge Mershon makes pretrial determinations about certain evidence that was admitted and says none of it is subject to the immunity case. All of this evidence has to be explored interlocutory, meaning pretrial. So they can immediately appeal Mershon's decision to the next competent jurisdiction, which would probably be a federal district court in the Second Circuit there in Manhattan. From there, it goes to the Second Circuit. From there, it goes to the United States Supreme Court. So there's actually an appellate avenue of approach here where Trump could run out for 5th just by appealing Mershon's rulings. If there's one single piece of evidence that he says is not subject to immunity, he has a right to appeal that. So it would be very interesting. And if the Second Circuit disagrees, he can go to the Supreme Court. But he can't be sentenced until those interlocutory determinations are finalized.
That's what I was going to ask you next, because then politically, Jay, because you are in both fields here, Trump can say, as you just said, I'm not convicted here. These things are still ongoing. And I think now, bringing up the Twitter case again, et cetera, it helps people politically to look at all this and say, yeah, wait a minute, he's immune to this. And they're rushing this. They're going forward just because they want that tag to be on him. I think that gives him some more talking points on this.
It certainly does, not to mention the 30 other talking points of reversible error that Bragg and Mershon and their performance of their duties, violating Trump's due process rights on a daily basis. But those are not interlocutory. Those would be to the Court of Appeals in New York. So that's post-sentencing. So he actually has the opportunity here to delay sentencing for quite a long time through its appellate chain.
All right. I wanted you to put on the political and the great legal hat here, Jay. Now, the other issue with this playing out with the immunity thing, Democrats, some of the stuff we can dismiss as preposterous, you know, that Biden can put a hit on conservative justices.
Most of it.
Yeah, most of it.
Yeah.
But I don't see Republicans countering other than saying correctly, this is constitutionally sound. Come on now. There's no leap here. What would you say to the American public? I think we have to do a better job here of saying this Supreme Court decision is exactly where it should be. The avenue I would take is to say these people are just preposterous with the stuff that they're bringing up here. They're just trying to con you rather than just say it's constitutional. What would you say?
Well, I don't speak for the former president, but what I'm going to say right now, to make it even more obvious, what I'm going to say is that the law before yesterday, woke up Monday morning, was that the chief executive, the president of the United States, has immunity from prosecution from official actions that he takes while in office. The law, when you woke up this morning, is exactly the same. The Supreme court just confirmed that yesterday because they had to, because they were forced to, because of the lawfare prosecution brought by Jack Smith. What's more difficult for Jack Smith is that the president is presumed to be cloaked in this immunity, and Smith is now going to have to prove why he shouldn't be immune. And the motive of the president, why he took an action, if it was reasonable.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
485 was actually an Article II reason, but the first 484 were all private reasons or personal reasons. Doesn't matter. There just has to be some official, the action had to be have some sort of executive function for the president to be cloaked in immunity. And once he's cloaked, that particular action cannot be the subject of a crime, nor can any evidence of that action be admitted in a trial. Now, think about it this way. Here's a great example. I know we just have a minute or two left, but think about a DEA agent. Take the president out of it. A DEA agent does a controlled purchase or a controlled sale of an illegal narcotic to a known drug trafficker, right? And he's part of the executive branch because he's in the DEA. He's breaking the law in every county and every city in the country by distributing a kilo of cocaine to somebody. Now, if he doesn't get immunity for that because it's part of his official function,
right,
to control this buy and get a drug dealer off the street, then you're not going to be able to do that action any longer, or they're going to be subject to these local prosecutions. Of course he had immunity, and he had immunity when you woke up Monday morning, and he had it the day before, and he'll have it 500 years from now, this great country, because we recognize that there are certain functions that our executive branch has to perform that can't be the subject of criminal prosecution because a state under federalism principles or Congress under separation of powers principles cannot criminalize the executive functions of the Article II executive branch.
I love it. Yeah.
In the Constitution.
Jay, that's exactly, I know you got to run. The bottom line was, I thought this was just clarifying what we always thought, that the president had to have some qualified immunity. Jay, I know you have to run, but come back soon. Thank you.
Have me back, Dom. Good to talk with you.
All right, Jay Towne here on Talk Radio 1210. You heard what he said. Now, this is big stuff. Is it going to happen that way? Well, the ball's in the court of this judge. And Bragg saying, well, they're going to need more time on this. It's obvious. The Twitter, remember that? And I've supported the idea that Trump should be able to block you. National Archives. You can't be blocking stuff like that. That was the argument. So the argument here is they did use tweets around all this stuff, particularly with Michael Cohen. Well, if they did, the jury saw that as evidence, and they saw that as that, yeah, Trump's guilty here. That's why he's doing that. Well, that's reversible. Could we see this thrown out? Well, not anytime soon. You heard how long it would take. So what's Marchand going to do? Well, we got to think about that because it was already complicated. But I think he is not going to sentence on July 11th. You're not going to see it. It's going to be pushed back. And I don't think it's going to be pushed back 2 weeks because I think he just made a brilliant case. This is very reversible. How do they answer that? How can this be pointed out? The bottom line is he mentioned the social media part. That's the part I remember. Remember that with Trump and social media? The idea he ought to be able to block you, which I think he should be. I think anybody ought to be able to do that. Oh, no, the pesky archivist. Remember? Nope, you can't do that because this is the official record. So people can be saying the most outrageous things and you wouldn't be able to do anything. I don't know what would happen now with Elon Musk, what he tried to do with Twitter or not. But okay. Well, they entered in the social media, apparently the attacks or the Trump going after Michael Cohen. Remember this? It had to do with the gag order, too, and all that. Okay. So does that mean this is reversible, and who's going to determine that? The more important thing is this. How quickly does this play out? In other words, does it add to the idea that this is just a kangaroo court? Does it get overturned? Does there have to be a new trial? Can they say he's a convicted felon then, when there's been no real determination? And how do you play with that? Because that's one of their big things. That's what Biden tried to say in the debate. This is big, big story here. And I don't know about discussions in the Oval Office with Hope Hicks or anything else around Stormy Daniels. And that was entered in as that. I'm not sure. That sounds to me as private. Just because it's in the Oval Office, it still can be private. But the social media part of this, that was a really good argument. That was already deemed not to be personal, to be presidential, official duties, communicating with the people. You can't hide that. You can't block them. And we have to go back and see exactly what was said, how it was said. But I think this could be very big. That's why Alvin Bragg is agreeing to this 2 weeks. Now, what is this Marchand guy going to do? He hasn't said anything yet. Will he still go forward? And if he does, people are going to see this more and more for what it is. And on the upside for Democrats, they'll say the Supreme Court is now letting Trump out of this. We're a little bit ahead of the curve. We'll have more tomorrow at Mulligan's. Once we see this play out, we have Jeff and Drew at 1:30 tomorrow. Going to have a lot of fun with the Scotch thing, but he is the pipeline to Trump. And we'll bring you that. We'll bring you this Curtis Bradshaw, the candidate for the Senate in New Jersey, who I think has a real shot against Andy Kim. But we want you in the place. A lot of fun tomorrow, too, at Mulligan's as well. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of the Bradshaw. We're also going to have several listeners, the frequent callers and all that. Everybody will be there. So 855-839-1210, you get on board. Now, one other thing, I'm going to ask Jeff and Drew about this. A friend of mine has suggested it, that we let off the show today telling you, here comes Murphy again. The Biden administration approves these huge offshore wind projects. This is Atlantic Shores. They got the go-ahead yesterday from the Department of the Interior. Now, Trump would stop this the first 30 seconds that he's actually president. The Inquirer says it marks a major victory for Governor Phil Murphy after another major offshore wind project proposed by Ørsted fell through last fall. It didn't fall through. We stopped them. We beat Phil Murphy. There would be 195 turbine generators for Atlantic Shores offshore wind, which is not just AC, it's also Brigantine. And the lease area, Dan and I were made, well, first of all, these are each 1,048 feet high, slightly taller than the Comcast Center Tower in Philadelphia. And it's amazing the acreage this wind farm would take up. It was 102,124 acre span. Wow. What a monstrosity, right?
It's huge.
So the proposal, and see if Jeff and Drew might like it, President Trump ought to go to the beaches again, this time to AC. It would be fun. Or maybe even better, Brigantine. And talk about what's coming and talk about, not just if he's president, he'll stop this in a heartbeat. But remember, when he went to Wildwood, there was a significance of several smart people saying, you know what, this is where people, middle class, go to vacation. The Wildwoods of the world. Wildwood, famous for that.
Can you give me the acreage again with the number?
Yes. The number the Inquirer says is 102,124 acre span.
So that's about 160 square miles.
Let me write that in there, okay.
So the total area of Philadelphia is 142 square miles.
Wow, wait a minute, Dan. That's a great way to make people see this. So it's 100.
Now that's including like the entire city of Philadelphia, not just Center City, the entire
right.
City of Philadelphia.
142 square miles, Philadelphia. So this would be Philadelphia and Camden, I'll throw in.
Yeah,
Camden might
Camden,
be 18 square miles.
Let's see how many.
It's probably more than 18, but.
10.
Oh,
yeah,
all right,
so
wait
10,
a minute.
So
all right, we're going to keep 142.7
plus right. 10.3 is.
What's the next little town there? Woodland. Let's throw that in.
So Woodland.
Square. Maybe it doesn't come up easily. What the heck? Throw Haddonfield in if you have to.
No, it says. Yeah. No, it's Woodland Township. I don't know. Let's do Haddonfield. Yeah, yeah, Haddonfield works. Haddonfield, New Jersey, square miles, about 2.84. So yeah,
right.
We can fit Camden, Haddonfield, and Philadelphia all within this area.
Wow, that is, I'm going to use that forever. Did I ever tell you there was a Republican mayor alive for 3 years while Billy the Kid was on the same kind of thing? So that's how big this acreage is. That's how big this monstrosity
so
will be.
Pensauken's 12, plus Camden is 10, so that's 22, plus Philadelphia is 142, so that would bring
roughly.
It up to 164. Yeah, so just about the size of Pensauken, Camden, and Philadelphia. So this little area, just right across the bridge, combined with the city of Philadelphia, is about how big this proposed area is.
All right, so Trump should go to the beaches, take this on, where people, middle class, and the argument is not just how ridiculous this is, the craziness of progressives, etc. It's also, this is our birthright. How many ways do we have to say that? I mean, every time I get to go to Wildwood Row, loves the beaches, you know, and going down to Mulligan's is another day at the beach. It's just, we can't imagine it being despoiled by these maniacs. For what? And Dad's right, that's Philadelphia, Camden, Pensauken, pretty much, as a wind farm. And the height of this. I'll ask Robin Schaefer tomorrow, who'll be in studio, our Patriot of the Year locally, about this. And it is personal. You know, it's all these big things, and it's the Murphys, and it's all these elites trying to, they don't care how many whales are killed, they don't care. And they don't get it. They keep on telling us, you're not even going to be able to see it. Yeah, right. Every time I see that windmill when we go over to Brigantine, coming vis-a-vis Atlantic City, really, not good. And that's minor in comparison to what these things are going to be. So I'll ask Jeff Andrew tomorrow. Yes, and that would be a great event for Trump to make the point about these people, the power they have, how they don't care. This is progressivism. That's all that it is, run amok. I know money's involved. Phil Murphy's not getting any money out of this. He's a 100 millionaire and all. He's trying to get a gold star on climate because he wants to run nationally. And I know it's hard to believe you think that anybody in the world would pay attention to him nationally. But what the heck? They're talking about Josh Shapiro. They're talking about the governor of Kentucky. Let's get King Philip thrown into the mix. I was telling Ro this morning, can you imagine Miss Kim in the White House with the hair? All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Fed Chairman Powell predicts a lower inflation rate in a year. Well, you know, he can predict it, Dan, but then again,
I feel like that's
in a year, another year, we have to wait for a lower. And not only that, he's being nebulous. So let's say it's 3.2 now, something. Sometimes it goes up a little bit each month. 3.1 and a half? That's lower.
Sounds like the last kind of hope. Like a coach that is about to get fired from a football team,
right.
Gets pulled into the GM. It's like, yeah, you know, next year we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Vote me back. Yeah,
yeah,
I'll
exactly.
Bring me back another year. Sure.
Well, next year we're not going to lose as badly, given how insignificant this is. They're only going to beat us by a field goal. It's progress. All right, 855-839-1210. Hit us, too, with that all-time photo, a photo that we want here. I took off Iwo Jima and took off, of course, the kiss. And, Dan, yours was, again?
The skyscraper guys and
yep.
The Hindenburg.
Yes. Okay, those are great. Hit us with yours. We'll put you in the running to get your name into the hat. And tomorrow at Mulligan's, one of the things, we got this preoccupation. Make sure that we have the voice of Debbie Wasserman Schultz of who you wouldn't want to be trapped in an elevator or a room with for any length of time. As
this
I was.
This conversation, honestly,
oh,
that is taking place among elites.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. try not to make it political, though. You know, I'm trying to. Dr. Jill Biden, I couldn't take it. She has reached a level of just sheer driven Evita-like power here.
It'd be terrible to be stuck in an elevator with Jill Biden.
Oh, goodness. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true, too. She would be worse, though. By the way, somebody online, I'll go to the call in a minute, but I do have a poll in New Jersey where President Trump is up in New Jersey. It is a an interactive poll, IA poll, Trump 41, Biden 40, JFK, RFK 7. So there are several polls out there reporting here that, and in New Hampshire, that's a key one. New Hampshire's winnable. Trump has jumped. There's been a 12-point shift in New Hampshire. Now, this is a little unsettled. We don't know fully how this is playing out. I think it's the best of both worlds. I'll explain why coming up. Republicans might have to do a better job on this, as Democrats are getting away with the media of saying preposterous things, but then it plays into politically save democracy and all that stuff. So that's a job to be on that. Scott in Mount Laurel's next on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Dom. First of all, I will be there tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
Oh, okay.
Heck yeah, man.
Show off, you know, at some point there. Damn, we got to get him in to do a little commentary. Maybe I should bring a football and throw it, and Scott can do some commentary there.
Scott, can you be there for 1:30? I might give you a microphone during the
Scotch
tasting. Yeah. Scotch tasting. Maybe the play-by-play of the
I would be glad to do it. I will definitely be there. I'm going to try to be there about 11:30, but I'll stay the whole time. And I'm
Just remind listeners, Scott's the kind of guy that sat in with Krucky and others for the Phillies broadcast Sun Pass. So.
And told Kruk that he ran like a gazelle.
Some professional experience.
Yes, exactly.
I will have to do my Scotch research tonight. You got to be prepared. You know that.
Love it.
But now, Tom, I got to take you on something you said yesterday. Right after I got off the air, you made some kind of a comment like you didn't think that Dr. J was that good.
I didn't. No. I mean, as far I'm trying to reassemble the conversation. I would say this shooting suspect as far as spectacular, et cetera. But no, Dr. J in the end is not a top 10 basketball player of all time. No way.
I think he's given short shrift because of the bias today towards shooting. And the reality is I've even looked at it because I've had this debate with people. He scored more points per shot in his career than Larry Bird did. But Bird is the better quote-unquote shooter, but Doc was able to get better shots.
All right, well, if I'm forming a team, I'm taking Larry Bird over Doc. I'm taking Kobe over him. I'm taking Michael Jordan. You know, he's top 20. He's top 20 all time, I guess.
We'll debate it further another time, I guess.
After a scotch or two, I might be convinced.
Steph Curry or Dr. J, bigger legacy.
That's what I'm thinking. What's that, Dan?
Is it Steph Curry or Dr. J? Who's going to have a bigger legacy?
Dr. J.
Wow.
Dr. J, no question.
The championships that Steph has?
Yeah, but it's the it's Dan, it's one of a kind. It's the hair, it's the certain dunks, it's the the scoop shot against the Lakers. Nobody else could do that. Yeah.
And you know, the thing on the immunity, we have to distinguish publicly personal immunity versus presidential immunity. The Democrats are all over the place saying, oh, now Trump can go shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. No. We have to really be very clear and explain it doesn't let him be a criminal. It just means that he can't be criminalized for acting as the president.
Yes, but I think we need better examples that are put up. For example, preemptory shot by allegedly one of our own, Amy Coney Barrett, said the so-called fake electors, with all deference to her, Scott, they weren't fake electors. That's a bogus term. That would not be presidential official act. So that's what you need. We need examples here, and then the most compelling example will be exactly what this means.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's going to be difficult but we're going to have to do that. Otherwise, it's going to backfire against us, even though it's certainly the right decision. It should have been a 9-0 decision, not a 6-3, but that's a whole other matter.
All right, is your photo, Scott?
My photo is the great photo of Chuck Bednarik. He demolished Frank Gifford, and there's a photo of him standing over him, and he signs it, and he signed it, and he would inscribe it, what he said to Gifford at the time, except I won't say the bad part. He said, this F blank game is over.
and pointing at him, too. It's a guy.
You got to Google it if you haven't seen it. It's a great photo.
Thank you, Scott, very much. Dan, I'd say Chuck Bednarik is like Wilt. You just, you know, people would say he couldn't play today and all. He wouldn't be overly big today, but the
what would he be, like a fullback, I guess?
No, he still would be a linebacker center, I think. Well,
linebacker.
Yeah, he would bulk up, but a guy is tough. I mean, what he did to Frank Gifford in that is just, he's not a Ray Lewis. He's not big enough, but he's along that continuum, you know, and Will, I still think, is just one of a kind.
Domji or Dono, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.